The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So today I would like to talk about wisdom. Often teachers talk about cultivating wisdom, but what is it actually? To cultivate wisdom, what is wisdom? How do we cultivate it? And the texts describe three kinds of wisdom. And I'll first name them in Pali, which is the language that the oldest Buddhist texts are written down in. And in Pali, they're called Sutta Maya Panya, and second, Chinta Maya Panya, and the third, Bhavana Maya Panya. And of course, I'll give the English translations, but I'm not a Pali scholar, so please forgive any mistakes that I make, but this is what I could find. The first, Sutta Maya Panya, is spelled S-U-T-A, so it's one T. While in Sutta, like the Buddha's discourses, there's two T's, S-U-T-T-A. And Sutta with one T means heard. And Maya, in this context, means arising from, and Panya means wisdom. So together in English, that first type of wisdom is wisdom arising from what one has heard. The second type of wisdom is Chinta Maya Panya. And Chinta means reasoning or the act of thinking. And then the Maya Panya again. So together it's wisdom arising from reasoning or thinking. The third type of wisdom is Bhavana Maya Panya. And Bhavana means cultivation. It's often referred to as cultivation of the mind. So together with Maya and Panya, it's wisdom arising from cultivating the mind. And I'll discuss these three types of wisdom a bit more in depth in this talk. And we'll start with the first one, Sutta Maya Panya, the wisdom arising from what one has heard. And this type of wisdom is about getting input from outside. And in the Buddha's time, the teachings were transmitted orally. So people would hear the Buddha or one of his senior disciples give teachings. And that's why we call it wisdom arising from what one has heard, since those teachings were all transmitted orally. But in our times, we can also read the suttas, or we can read a book or an article by a Buddhist teacher. So it's a bit more broad than only hearing in our situation. And like listening to a Dharma talk like this would also be part of this type of wisdom, hearing. And of course, others talks we can find online, or maybe YouTube videos or that kind of thing is all wisdom from hearing. So through this type of wisdom, we might get already some insight or some clarity or some knowledge about the teachings of the Buddha. It is actually an important way of cultivating wisdom. And there are very few people who can develop this path without any input from an outside source, any input from an oral or a written teaching. And maybe you can think about when you just came to meditation, you probably received some instruction on how to meditate and some instructions on the Buddha's teachings. And maybe you read some instructions in a book or an article, or you heard instructions from a teacher. And if we don't get these instructions, then it's much harder to develop any meditation practice. We might not know what to do. When I came to meditation, I tried to meditate without any guidance. And I vaguely had heard, like years before, that meditation was about something about following the breath. So there was a little bit of input, although not very clear. So I just tried to follow my breath. And then I noticed that my mind was like all over the place. And I couldn't really stay with the breath. So I was actually thinking, oh, I'm doing this whole meditation thing wrong. not really realizing that when you start out with just following the breath, never having meditated before, that it's expected that your mind is all over the place. And when we start meditating, we start to notice how busy our minds actually are and how difficult it is to just stay with the breath. So because I thought I was doing it wrong, I thought, okay, I need a bit more input. So I decided to pick up a book about meditation. And it was a book by Sharon Salzberg, Insight Teacher. And it's a very practical meditation instructions and also what the pitfalls are that you might encounter and how to deal with them. So it was a clearer explanation on how to do Vipassana or insight meditation for me. So this kind of instructions, whether it's through a book or directly through a teacher, can help for a certain type of wisdom to arise, the Sutta Maya Panya, wisdom from hearing. It can also be teachings, like hearing teachings on the Four Noble Truths or the Five Hindrances or whatever it is for kind of Buddhist subject. Those teachings can, of course, also give rise to wisdom. And I think that we all need this type of wisdom from time to time, even if we are experienced meditators, because it can really support our practice and it can deepen our practice and it can give us pointers on our path towards freedom from suffering. So it's something we can actively look for, like by attending a Dharma class like this, or listening to talks on audio Dharma or Dharma Seed, or by reading Dharma books, or meeting a teacher and ask questions. And my teacher, Sayadaw Teshaniya, Burmese monk, he also stresses this importance of this type of wisdom. He says, whenever you are uncertain, or when you cannot figure things out by yourself, clarify your understanding with a teacher. It is vital to have the right information, the right motivation, and the right thinking to practice intelligently and effectively. End quote. So this Sutta Maya Panya can help us to gather this information to practice intelligently and effectively, as Sayadaw puts it. And then we get to the second type of wisdom, Chinta Maya Panya, wisdom arising from reasoning or thinking. And often in meditation, we are learning like, oh, let's go of the thoughts, just let them flow through. And we try not to get into the content of thoughts too much, and see them just as other phenomena, just arising and passing away. But there's actually a place for reasoning and thinking in the Buddha's teachings. And when we reflect and think about the Dharma, it can actually be very skillful. And Dharma is a very broad in this context. It could be our own practice, or it could be something we've heard, the other type of wisdom. It could be thinking about the teachings, whatever it is. So through this thinking or reflecting or reasoning, we get to chew on a subject a little bit more. We get to investigate it and gain intellectual understanding about the subject that we're thinking about. And you might have had this experience that you intellectually understood a certain Dharma teaching, and then a while later, you got to experience this teaching for yourself. And then you had this kind of realization like, oh, that was what they were talking about. So hearing these teachings and then intellectually understanding them is fertile ground for actually experiencing the teaching for yourself. It's like the mind gets primed for it. And we don't know when it will arrive, this insight, but it might take several months or years for an intellectual teaching to ripen into an experiential teaching. But when it does, it can feel like an aha moment. And an aha moment can be big or small, but can feel a bit like, ah, wait, yeah, I heard about that. I read about that. I remember that several years ago, I was on a retreat and I was resting on the bed. I was feeling my leg laying on the bed. And suddenly, I was getting some insight into this is not my leg, this is just a leg. And that was kind of a first glimpse of not self, a teaching that I had heard teachers talk about many times, and a teaching that I had tried to understand intellectually. But when understanding it directly, it's different. It is distinctly different than the intellectual understanding. So that being said, the phase of intellectually understanding it is very useful and sometimes maybe even necessary. Like I said, this intellectual understanding and the hearing about it acts as a primer. And it will also help us to recognize what is happening when we actually start to experience the teaching for ourselves. If we haven't heard about, for example, this leg example, that it's just a leg and not my leg, then it might be a frightening experience. But if we are able to place it into a context of the teachings on not self, it can help us to be able to let this insight be there without any fear. It can even feel exciting then, like, oh, finally, some experiential understanding of not self. That's what it felt like for me. So the wisdom arising from reasoning or thinking, the citta mayapanya, is just like the sutta mayapanya, the hearing, is a vital aspect of the cultivation of wisdom. Sayadaw uteshaniya again. The wisdom you gain by thinking will increase your faith in the Dharma and therefore further stimulate your interest in the practice. Increased interest in the practice will result in more learning and thinking. You will stop being afraid of making mistakes and will start exploring new ways of dealing with difficulties. You will see the benefits of the practice more clearly and understand what you have learned at deeper levels. End quote. So both the wisdom that arises from hearing and the wisdom arising from thinking are stepping stones towards a deeper kind of wisdom. It might be like crossing a stream, and in the stream are these three stepping stones that we need to use to get across to the other side of the stream. And the first two stones, the hearing and the thinking, might not be as exciting as the third stone, which is cultivating the mind. But to get to the third stone, and from there to the other side of the stream, we'll need to use the other two stones. We can't often skip those two stones. We will actually have to use the three stones. And this metaphor of the stepping stones might not be fully applicable, since this process of using these different types of wisdom is not as linear as crossing a stream. And we might need to step back and forth on the stones. At times we might need to hear teaching. At times we might need to reflect a little bit more and think a little bit more. And at times we need to cultivate. And that might change over time which one we need. So then we get to the third stepping stone, the wisdom arising from cultivating the mind, bhavana, maya, panya. And this type of wisdom is a different type of wisdom than the first two, because it's the wisdom that arises from our own experiences. It arises from doing the practice, whether we are doing it formally on our cushion, so to speak, or informally during our daily lives. Like every time that we cultivate mindfulness, we contribute to the development of this type of wisdom. So in a way, this is a deeper kind of wisdom because it comes from our experience. It is a type of wisdom that we can get this deeper understanding of reality through. So in one of the suttas, the discourses, Sariputta, which is a senior disciple of the Buddha, he gets a question about, like, what is this wisdom actually? And the question actually is, how is a wise person defined? And Sariputta describes, they are called wise because they understand. And what do they understand? They understand this is suffering. This is the origin of suffering. This is the cessation of suffering. And this is the practice that leads to the cessation of suffering. End quote. So wisdom is about understanding reality as it is. And Sariputta mentions here the Four Noble Truths. Their suffering, the origin of suffering, cessation of suffering, the practice that leads to the cessation of suffering. And gaining a deeper understanding of the Four Noble Truths equates to gaining a deeper understanding of reality. When we understand reality in a deeper way, we are wise, so to speak. But getting there to a place of wisdom is actually a multi-layered process for most of us. It's like peeling an onion. Layer after layer gets peeled off until we end up at the core. And each layer we peel brings us closer to the core. And often this understanding and this wisdom comes through insights into reality. Like insights into suffering, insights into the Four Noble Truths that Sariputta pointed out. And these insights can be very powerful. And maybe you have had smaller or bigger glances of these kinds of insights. Maybe we see a habit pattern that plays out over and over again. And all of a sudden we see, oh, it's my attitude in this matter that brings me suffering. And through seeing this, suffering can get let go of. And I've seen this in my own practice in smaller and bigger ways. Well, like the other day, I was walking in the forest and I was meditating while walking. And there were actually a lot of thoughts happening, like thought train after thought train. And there was some aversion every time awareness came back, aversion towards the thought trains. And at some point, there was a recognition, the mind recognized, oh, there's aversion. And there was a seeing of the dukkha, the suffering of this aversive mind state. Recognition like, oh, this aversion is actually dukkha, it's actually suffering. And at the moment of that recognition, the aversion was let go of. And if something like that happens, if the aversion or the suffering kind of let's go, then that's wisdom at work. It's understanding. It's an understanding about the suffering that helps the suffering to be released. And it's not something that an I or me can force or make happen. It's something that happens through practice. It's a wisdom that arises from cultivating the mind. The bhavana maya panya. And wisdom can come in different forms. It doesn't have to be an obvious insight into dukkha, which means suffering, or the Four Noble Truths. And dukkha is one of the three characteristics of existence. And insight into the other two are also forms of understanding and wisdom. And the other two are impermanence and not self, anicca and anatta in Pali. So the understanding of these three characteristics, anicca, dukkha, anatta, is wisdom at work, impermanence, suffering, and not self. And like I said, it's a multi-layered process. And most of us won't have just one insight into these aspects of reality and then be fully liberated. And most of us need to peel this onion layer by layer. And for some of us, the onion might not be so big. The onion doesn't have that many layers, but that's not generally the case. For most of us, our onion is actually really big and has so many layers. So we need a lot of patience and endurance in this process of peeling this onion. And to continue this onion metaphor, sometimes in an onion, there's these tiny little slivers that can come off. And sometimes also in a big chunk, a bigger kind of layer falls off. And that can also happen in our practice. Sometimes our insights are like tiny little slivers, and sometimes they are big chunks all of a sudden. But contrary to the onion metaphor, we seem to have to peel those layers over and over and over again. for the insight to stick, it seems that we have to have the same insights over and over again before it actually sticks. Then at some point, the insight might stick, and we find that wisdom arises naturally. Like when I was seeing the dukkha of the aversion towards the thought trains, when I was walking in the forest, being able to let go of that aversion so easily was not something that happened overnight for me. It is something that I had seen over and over and over again. So often we will need this like process of continuing to see things over and over again. So this whole wisdom thing is actually at its core about diminishing and eventually eradicating suffering or dukkha. So this development, this cultivation of wisdom in these three stages, these three ways, is actually also the development towards eradicating suffering. Seeing reality more clearly through the insights into impermanence, suffering, and not self will help us to let go of this suffering that we experience more and more. Because what happens is that we suffer because we don't see things clearly. And the Buddha describes that in the suttas, that we often do not see things clearly. He says that we often take that which is impermanent to be permanent, that which is suffering as happiness, and that which is not self to be self. And he also says, and this is almost a direct quote, but more of a paraphrasing, when a wise person hears the teachings, they see impermanence as impermanence, suffering as suffering, not self as not self. Then one rises of all suffering. So when we see things clearly, and we see impermanence, suffering, and not self, we can rise above all suffering. So wisdom has these three aspects to sum it up: the Sutta Maya Panya, Chinta Maya Panya, and the Bhavana Maya Panya. Wisdom arising from hearing or reading, wisdom arising from thinking or reasoning, and the wisdom arising from practicing the Dharma. And all these three types of wisdom are valuable and needed on our path. But it's only the Bhavana Maya Panya, the wisdom arising from our practice, that can liberate us from suffering. I'd like to end with another quote by Sayadaw Uteshaniya. He says, when the time is ripe, when you are ready, you will have your own distinct insights. Then you will understand the vast difference between whatever you have read or heard about insight and the actual insight. Such a direct experience of reality will have a profound impact on your practice, on the way you perceive the world, and on the way you lead your life.